Thanks, members, for being so timely getting down upon the conclusion of session. We have a little bit of business here. First is the appointment of the Subcommittee on Conference Committees. Senator Skoy moves the membership of Bach, Sieben, and Hand. Discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. The appointment of a Subcommittee on Permanent and Joint Rules. That historically there's been a Subcommittee of the Rules Committee that's worked on the new permanent rules. I don't believe that happened the last 2 years, but creating a Subcommittee will give us an opportunity for members that have suggestions to the rules. It'll give them a place to come and submit suggestions for changes to the permanent and joint rules. So Senator Stump moves Bach, Sieben, Metzen, Han, and Fischbach. Any discussion?
Just a question, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stump.
Do we currently have permanent and joint rules that we abide by? I'm thinking of the House and Senate
joint rules. We adopt them as temporary. Yes. Right. Any other questions? On the Stump motion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Senator Dibble is here with Senate File 694, which is the governor's transportation finance bill. It's in front of the Rules Committee because, subject to Joint Rule 2.03, those governor's finance bills that show up more than 15 days after he submits the budget, there's a requirement in the joint rules that they come to the Rules Committee and then be re-referred from here without recommendation, just simply referred to finance. Senator Marty moves Senate File 694 be referred to the Finance Committee. Discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Same is true for Senate File 671 by LATS, the Omnibus Judiciary Finance Bill. Same rule, Joint Rule 2.03. Senator Marty moves that Senate File 671 be re-referred without recommendation to Finance. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Senator Laurie, Senate File 1. And members, Senate File 1 is here pursuant to Senate Rule 4.06. And Senate Rule 4.06 or 4.6 says that any bill that establishes a task force or a committee that members of the legislature serve on, that those bills have to come to the Rules Committee. So somewhere in the process, Senator Laurie, of your bill moving through multiple committees, someone had an idea to add a oversight committee of legislators to oversee the work of the Minnesota Insurance Marketplace. So that's why we're here, members, and I'd like to limit our work here today to the jurisdiction of this committee, and it is this Legislative Oversight Committee in Section 14, page 15 of the bill. Senator Laurie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is Senate File 1. Jumping right to, I guess, Section 14, it begins on page 15.4. This was added in, I believe, HHS Budget Committee, and I think it's a really good addition to the bill for proper oversight. Section 14 of the bill establishes a legislative oversight committee of five senators and five representatives to review the operations of the Minnesota insurance marketplace and recommend necessary changes in policy, implementation, and statutes to the board and to the legislature. The appointments are three senators appointed by the majority leader of the Senate and the remaining two appointed by the minority leader. The House members, three representatives appointed by the Speaker, the remaining two appointed by the minority leader of the House, And the committee is essentially required to meet at least once a year, and the marketplace is required to present the committee its annual report, as well as all of the other reports that the committee that the marketplace has to compile and gather and report. And the estimated costs to fund the operations of the marketplace are also submitted to this committee for review. So it really provides for a public review process done by legislators to call the marketplace forward and make sure that they're answering all the questions properly and that we have the tools that we need to stay on top of the development of this new health insurance exchange.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Lurie, in looking at the language in Section 14, it doesn't appear that this committee, this Legislative Oversight Committee, has any power or authority to actually do anything except to receive a report and to make some recommendations. My question is, if they, in the course of hearing that report from the governing board, decide that there needs to be some change made, and the board disagrees and doesn't wish to make that change, how does the Legislative Oversight Committee make that happen, or does it not have the power to do that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hahn, this Legislative Oversight Committee, again made up of both majority and minority members, would bring the information back to the legislature for consideration and action. I mean, I think that there was a proposal to allow any one of the members of this board to essentially stop the actions of the board, and I think that that's going quite a bit too far. Making sure that we have an open and accountable and transparent process where the exchange is brought forward and asked to give testimony on record and answer questions that the legislature may have, and then empowering these 10 to bring back those findings to the legislature for future consideration is additional oversight that was welcomed.
And Mr. Chair,
Senator Hamm,
and Senator Lurie, I appreciate that, but it seems to me that would be the same oversight that any member of the legislature would have in reading any of the rules that the governing board were to promulgate at any time, that any member of the legislature could take those rules and decide that they were not sufficient or were somehow in error and could make a recommendation to the next legislative session to change them. But I'm just wondering what powers that this oversight committee has that calls for its creation, and if it doesn't have any power, then why do we have it? It just seems to me that if you're going to give a committee some duties, it should have some power to do something, and I'm not clear that this does anything other than just receive a report, which is, as I said, something that any member of the legislature could do on his or her own.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hahn, you know, a point well taken, but they do have power to call hearings and to, when we're not in session, and to bring the exchange up, and the exchange is given the duty to answer the questions, and so it provides for that public, accountable, transparent process that we're looking for. So, I mean, they don't have the ability. We didn't empower a small group of legislators to actually stop the actions of the exchange, but we did empower them to bring the exchange forward when we're not in session and make sure that they're answering questions so that the legislature keeps themselves well informed.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In that spirit, I'd like to offer the A-106 amendment. Mr. Chair, if I can briefly explain.
Senator Gazelka.
If you look on beginning of the last word on line 1.7 and then from there forward, if within 10 days of receipt of the proposed rule a majority, not one member, but a majority of the committee members request further review of the proposed rule, the rule shall not be adopted until the request has been satisfied. So it's legislators that we pick, it's a majority that have that power. All along we've been talking about the need for legislative accountability in a variety of areas, and this is in particular an area that I think we should have our input still into this. And the other thing it changes is from April 30th to March 1st on line 1.3, again, so that we have the ability to respond with some time to think about it before a session would end.
Senator Gazalka, the committee is made up of 10 people. What happens in the case of a tie vote?
Mr. Chair, the way this is written, if it's a majority of committee members request further review, that would not go forward.
Mr. Chairman, is it a majority House, a majority in the Senate, or a majority of the whole?
The combined committee.
Senator Pappas, anything further?
Yeah, so that one body basically stop this if you didn't require majority in both bodies.
Madam Chair, Senator Pappas, that would be correct then if all of one body voted one way and the other was mixed, yeah.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Gazalka, my concern about adopting this is that anything to do with the rules is supposed to be reviewed by the Committee on State and Local Government. And so, you know, I'm not sure exactly what our procedure is typically when other committees add things that relate to different committees. But it seems to me it might end up sending the bill back to state and local government if the chair would like that.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pappas, my concern is that we are giving up, I think, our responsibility to have oversight in a variety of places, and you know, focused on just this area here today as one last stopgap in case it's moving forward in a way that we don't want. They have tremendous autonomy as a board, and you know, maybe the most powerful agency we're going to have, and for us to not have some ability to say, hey, you're going too far, I think is a mistake, and that's why I'm offering it this way. I know that Senator Rosen had something either exact or similar to this in Health and Human Services, but we did not go forward with that.
Senator Stump.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Lurie, in my exposure to this legislation, it was in the Finance Committee, and I know you had, or there were either some questions or you had talked about the time frame and how important the time frame was to be met. And I'm not sure if this does this impact that ability to meet that time frame, or is this in regard to the rule that might be that might come out of that supposedly process that's going to take place in the next 6 months?
Mr. Chair, Senator Stumpf, most of the conversation in finance regarding the timeline was in regards to the March 31st deadline, and this wouldn't affect the March 31st deadline, but your point is well taken that it could really hamper the exchange. Here's the bottom line, is if this exchange is in public testimony and you know, this oversight committee is expressing concern, the exchange is going to be responsive to that. This is a creature of the legislature. It is always under the review of the legislature. We can come back and change it whenever we're in session. Delaying rules that are important for moving the exchange forward would be quite possibly very problematic, and so I would oppose this amendment. We did, Senator Rosen did have a very similar amendment, and we defeated that in Health and Human Services as well.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, Senator Lurie has indicated that part of his concern, excuse me, with the idea of legislative oversight and having the legislature involved here is that a very small group of legislators would be able to stop the rules from going forward. And it seems to me that under the way this legislative oversight committee is currently crafted in the bill, an even smaller number of board members would have the authority to do just the same thing. And my concern has always been with respect to this board that they're not accountable to our constituents, whereas we are. And this board is going to have a great deal of authority over an issue that has this entire nation involved in a discussion. For what little authority this particular amendment would grant to us as a legislature is, in my estimation, very little to ask. And I am really very, very surprised at the opposition that there is to the legislature remaining engaged in legislative rule making. And clearly the bill as written, where this commission is to provide oversight in the implementation of the chapter, I really don't know what that oversight would be, you know, other than to listen patiently. So all we're trying to do is re-engage the legislature in the rulemaking process and retain some type of control over this very autonomous board that is being created.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to Senator Stump's point about March 1st, part of the reason we want to move it up to March 1st is so that the costs are certified in a timely manner so that we have a chance to look at the cost before session runs out. If we run it all the way out to April 30th, we're virtually done at that point. And I doubt that we're going to call a special session to come back and look at things that we're concerned about. And so that's the motive to try to get it moved up so that we actually have good data to make good decisions.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Lurie.
If members wanted to divide this, the April 30th isn't a problem for the certification of the expenditures, but the ability for a small group of legislators to stop the process, I still have significant problems with. But the point about being able to take a look at things for the April 30th is less problematic.
Senator Zelker, are you willing to divide the amendment?
Mr. Chair, I'm not going to offer that, but I would understand why others may.
Any other discussion on the A-106? Senator Limmer.
Hey, Mr. Chair. Senator Lurie, I'm kind of curious as to the amendment has been put before us with an idea to give the legislature a little bit more of an active role in reviewing the actions of this board. We already have it in your bill. This is just tweaks it a little bit. But I'm kind of curious that you seem rather defensive about this by how you characterize a legislative action, characterizing it in the words you just said, if a few legislators decide to stop something. It may be just a review. It may be just a means to slow a process down to maybe come up with a better idea. I think that characterize it as it would be a majority of, and then at the same time,
six.
Isn't that how we kind of make all of our decisions in this government? We meet, we talk, we vote, and a majority advances a concept or stops a concept. But I don't think it's designed purely created for an idea that a small group of legislators are intending to stop everything. It seems just a little defensive on your part to characterize it that way. Can't you see the merit of an idea that Senator Gazelka has proposed, that the legislature can have a little bit more of an active guiding role in this?
Mr. Chair, Senator Limmer, you know, I think that this group of legislators could have very good ideas that I'm confident the marketplace, the exchange, would welcome. But this would create the power for this small group of legislators, six of them. There's 201 legislators. Six is equivalent to 3% of the legislature. Could stop the actions of the exchange. That's where it gets problematic for me. So, you know, again, if a number of these legislators are expressing deep concerns, the exchange would be well advised to work with those legislators. They're going to be bringing issues back to the legislature when we would reconvene. This would be in the case when we're out of session. This exchange is a creation of the legislature and will always be subject to additional legislative review. It's subject to the Office of the Legislative Auditor's review. We're adding this additional oversight. I understand that it's not going as far as you would like, but I do believe that it is meaningful, what is in this Section 14. And to empower this 3% of the legislature to actually stop the board is going too far, in my opinion.
Senator Limmer.
thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Lurie, we have proposals that are in our laws that the legislature be included in anything, even of an emergency nature, that the legislature be brought in as soon as possible. Take, for example, our bioterrorism emergency statute. If the legislature is not in session, and if there was a bioterrorist threat, the governor has the sole authority to exercise emergency power and engage in even arresting people off the street due to a health threat. But once that provision is enacted by the governor in a time of when the legislature is not in session, the governor also has to call the legislature in within 3 days in order to justify what he just did. Now, we don't seem to have that here. And Senator Gazelka just wants to have a small token representation of the legislature involved in some of these decisions. So if it can be done in an emergency where we call in the legislature within 3 days, I don't understand why you couldn't have a small board of legislators making sure we know what's going on. And if they had comment that it was of such a nature that they needed to make a more of a pronounced policy statement or a decision, that we wouldn't want that. This board, there is criticism that this board is given way too much authority and that it's too streamlined and that the legislature is too far removed. So it's a question of balance. We've recognized balance in other public policies in this state, and I don't understand why you want to move away from that balance today.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my thought on this is Senator Lurie talked about six legislators being able to slow down the process, six legislators. But the way the board's set up right now, four unelected board members can do whatever they want, basically. We can't jump in like we should. Four unelected. And that's why I want this. I really feel like we're giving up oversight on every level, whether it's how they invest funds, what they can do, who can participate. And this is just one way that we just say, if it's more than it should be, that we have an opportunity to say slow down. And Mr. Chair, I would like a roll call vote on this.
Roll call vote requested. Senator Scoy.
Mr. Chair, I'd move to divide the amendment between line 3 and line 4.
Senator Scoy moves to divide the amendment between lines 1.3 and 1.4. I believe it is divisible. Senator Scoy, which part? Senator Gazelka?
I'll take the second part first.
Any other discussion?
Roll call.
Roll call's been requested. So the vote will be on lines 1.4 through 1.15.
Chairman.
Senator Metzen.
Yeah, just a point. There is a, in the Commerce Committee, we did tack on an advisory committee. So I think you do have some look-see there by those professionals that'll be put on that committee. I know it doesn't get as far as you want, Senator, but there is a professional group out there that are going to be advising and looking over the shoulders of these people. So I think that should help your concern somewhat, but so that I think the committee should know that there is an advisory committee that will be dealing with the board.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Metzen, yeah, we talked about that quite a bit, and number one, we didn't know if they would be indefinitely on there. That was one of the issues that we never came to an agreement on. And number two, they only gave advice. They really had no input. And so, you know, again, that's why I would come back to supporting both parts of this amendment.
But just, Chairman, I just wanted to bring that up, that we did put an advisory committee in place in this bill. So.
Senator Pappas.
Just one more comment. It's been a while since, okay, the rulemaking section. Didn't we do, Senator Lurie, Mr. Chairman, some kind of expedited rulemaking process? Or you had a special rulemaking process?
Yes. There's a expedited rulemaking for the first 9 months of the board because they need to get up and running. And that's one that was borrowed from the Department of Health. They've used it for over 20 years. And it stood up to due process requirements, openness, and accountability. After that first 9 months, it had initially been a year of that, very expedited. We reined it in to 9 months. And beginning in 2015, it'll be with the expedited rulemaking process in statute that is about a six-month rulemaking process that it stabilizes to.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Lurie, within this expedited rulemaking process for the first 9 months, would there be authority for the board to extend the expedited rulemaking process?
Mr. Chair, Senator Newman, extended in what manner?
The expedited, Mr. Chair, the expedited
use it for longer than the 9 months?
Yeah, Senator Lurie, my question is, within the expedited rulemaking process, or the bill itself, you know, you're much more familiar with it than I am. Will there be authority for the board to extend expedited rulemaking process in any fashion for more than 9 months?
Mr. Chair, Senator Newman, extremely expedited rulemaking process that exists for the first 9 months is just for that first 9 months. Beyond that, it is the standard expedited. It's still expedited, but it's about a six-month process with publication, notice, opportunity to be heard, comment period, responses, the whole full-blown manner. And they are not allowed to, on their own, extend that more expedited process beyond that nine-month period, no. And we clarified in there through – there was some concern that the expedited rulemaking process beyond that was permissive, and there was a, I believe, a strained interpretation that they could do nothing for types of activities that historically require rulemaking under Chapter 14. And we teased that out and said specifically that, no, there is no more expedited rulemaking than what we give – than what we provide for in this statute. It's either this 6 months – process, or you use the full-blown two-year process provided for under Chapter 14.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Lurie, during the nine-month extreme expedited rulemaking process, to whom is the board accountable?
Mr. Chair, Senator Newman, the board is accountable in the same manner throughout as every public body is ultimately accountable to the people. The rulemaking that will be adopted Under that first period, much of it will be available for us to look at while we're still in session this year, as a matter of fact. But they'll be sending reports about the rules that they adopted to this committee, to the legislature. The OLA will be overseeing it. They're subject to significant federal review for how it operates. They are accountable in a number of manners for the rules that they adopt.
Any other discussion? Roll call has been requested on the Gazelka motion to adopt lines 1.4 through 1.15. Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Bach.
No.
Senator Cohen.
No.
Senator Fischbach.
Yes.
Senator Gazelka.
Yes.
Senator Han.
Yes.
Senator Limmer.
Yes.
Senator Marty.
No.
Senator Medson.
No.
Senator Newman.
Yes.
Senator Pappas.
No.
Senator Sieben?
No.
Senator Skoy?
No.
Senator Stumpf?
No.
On a vote of 8 no and 5 yes, the motion does not prevail. Senator Gazelka, do we need a roll call on the first part?
No.
Nope. On the Gazelka motion to adopt lines 1.2 and 1.3. Any discussion? Senator Lurie, any comment on that?
I'd consider that a friendly amendment.
On the Gazelka motion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Amendment's adopted. I should note for the tape there is a quorum.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, I did have a question, Senator Lurie, on 1523-24. It says the first meeting of the committee shall be convened by the chair of the Legislative Coordinating Commission. And is there an expectation that that person would be on the commission or just that they would convene the meeting and then the commission members, wherever they are, would elect their own chair? Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pappas, it's expected that the Legislative Coordinating Commission would just convene the meeting. This is a statute that was pulled from when we created Minnesota Care. We established a similar legislative oversight committee, and the LCC chair would just call the meeting to order and allow this group to elect their own chair.
Okay. And, Mr. Chairman, another one?
Senator Pappas.
So on 1527, it said the member shall serve without compensation. Does that mean you don't get your legislative salary when you're meeting on this commission?
It means you don't get your per diem if we're out of session. You still get your salary. Your salary is your salary, but you don't get your per diem.
Why would you not want legislators to receive per diem?
Mr. Chair, Senator Pappas, I don't know. This way, it didn't affect the fiscal note. Was one benefit of it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't. In general, I think when legislators serve in these commissions during the interim, they should be able to collect per diem for doing the work. So I would move to delete lines 1527.
15.27? 15.27. Mr. Chair, maybe counsel could answer. Does that mean that members would get per diem, or would we need to explicitly tease that out? Does that accomplish what Senator Pappas is trying to achieve?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Lurie, I do think that with that sentence in there, it creates a little bit of ambiguity as to whether per diem payments would be allowable. There may be a possibility to confirm that, I think it's in Chapter 15, the per diem payments that are allowable under Chapter 15 have to be expressly authorized in law. So I think if you remove this, it'll work fine as far as allowing per diem, legislative per diem, but
so
not
it,
statutory per diem.
Removing that line would achieve that.
Correct.
What gives discretion to the leader? Senator Lurie, it would give discretion to the leader.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
On the Pappas motion to
Mr.
delete.
Mr. Chair, could we have a roll call on that amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw the motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
I move that Senate File 1 as amended to be recommended to pass, and I guess I wouldn't go just recommended to pass.
And I'd like to roll, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to roll call on the final passage of the bill.
Senator Cohen moves that Senate File 1 as amended be recommended to pass. Do we have anybody from the public who would like to testify on the makeup of the Oversight Committee? That's the what's under the jurisdiction of this committee. Seeing no one, clerk will take the roll on the Cohen motion that the bill be Senate File 1 be recommended to pass. As amended.
Senator Bach.
Yes.
Senator Cohen.
Yes.
Senator Fischbach.
No.
Senator Gazelka.
No.
Senator Han.
No.
Senator Limmer.
No.
Senator Marty.
Yes.
Senator Metzen.
Aye.
Senator Newman.
No.
Senator Pappas.
Yes.
Senator Sieben.
Yes.
Senator Skoy.
Yes.
Senator Stumpf.
Yes.
On a vote of 8 yes and 5 no, the motion prevails. Senate File 1 will be sent to the floor of the Senate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Members, that concludes our business today. Rules Committee is adjourned. Get me sure. Get it.